Welcome to the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. This is Miranda Mitchell, your host. Today, I have a beautiful friend of mine on this podcast, and you will receive two episodes downloaded today. The reason I am choosing to do this is because I have interviewed her previously, and I am changing up the way that I share in this space. I will be sharing podcasts on a weekly basis. They will be out on Fridays, and it will be either one or two, depending on if I have a longer podcast and I don't go into the human design aspect, or if I have two podcasts where they actually wanted to go into the human design aspect, so I can share both with you. I am choosing to do Fridays because I feel like Fridays are a day that you get to have space. You get to have the weekend to listen, to reflect. And a lot of the podcasts that I bring out into the world not only give you connection with beautiful souls on this journey of creativity and reconnecting to their creativity so that they can bring it out into the world, into their business, into their entrepreneurship, but also I give a lot of time for reflection. I give a lot of time for you to create the space to ask yourself certain things or to connect with certain things that you may hear on the podcast. So this gives you the opportunity to go back during the weekend and reflect, to go back and journal, to go back and listen again. I will continue to have solo episodes where I do go into teaching aspects. It may be not as often, and it may be more of a special. So keep a lookout for those. This podcast I re-listened to as I was editing it the other day, and it made me cry numerous times. Jennifer Howell is a beautiful soul that gives so much of herself to this world and helps so many people in this world and create a beautiful space for creatives to help support those in need and those that are sick. We go into her story, and I want to just ask you to really listen and open the heart and listen to her story and listen to what she is doing. She is a lot of the times viewed as differently as this loving human being because she is so strongly passionate about doing the right thing. So open your heart, open your mind, take a listen, and then we go into her human design after this. I would love for you to reach out to me afterwards if anything resonated, or reach out to her. All of the information is there for you. If you are a creative, think about reaching out to the Art of Psyllium and see how you can support that nonprofit. And know that we are all creative. It may be just a time to remember that creativity that comes through you and is able to bring feeling back into the world, where I feel like we have numbed ourselves out with distraction and we are no longer in tune or in touch with a lot of our creativity, which is what truly fulfills us and truly connects us to the divine. I hope to hear from you. Take this in. Let's dive in.
Do you spend all of your time building and maintaining your business so that you achieve the success you envision? Do you feel frustrated, unfulfilled, and have a loss or disconnect from your creative flow? Are you a conscious leader that is ready for change when it comes to society's views on money, wealth, relationships, and what prosperity truly means? If so, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Miranda Mitchell. I am a 2-4 Manny Gen who is here to empower and equip you to step out of the box of social norms, guide you into using your voice for inspiration and impact, and support you in finding what prosperity means for you so that you have the business and life that fulfills you. So grab that cup of coffee, get comfy, and get ready to hear the heartwarming and heart-wrenching personal stories, all things human design and gene keys, plus tangible practices that you can implement right now for your personal and business growth.
Hello, beautiful souls. This is Miranda with the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. I'm so grateful that you're here. I am here with a friend of mine who I love very dearly, and I'm so grateful that you're here, Jennifer Howell, who is the founder of the Art of Elysium. So I would love for you to introduce yourself, go into a little bit about yourself before we dive in, if you wouldn't mind, Jen.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. First of all, I love you to pieces. So I'm so happy to be here. I am Jennifer Howell. I am the founder of the Art of Elysium and EB Studios. And it is a nonprofit that believes very simply that art heals. We take artists into communities of need. We started it with children in hospitals, and then went to elders, and then the homeless, veterans, prisoners. We're expanding right now into refugees and trying to figure out how we can be most helpful. But it really is engaging the artistic community to give back through their creativity to people in need is pretty simply what it is.
It's beautiful. I would love for you to go in how this was found. What's the story and how this beautiful space and beautiful environment, I guess, was found?
So a dear friend of mine in high school, our senior year of high school, was diagnosed with leukemia. And he dated after his first round bout with leukemia, dated my very best friend from childhood, Tara Williamson. And Tara called me whenever I was in Los Angeles and said, you should probably come home. And Steven had relapsed. And I went home. I had just graduated film school and had moved to LA to write and direct. It was kind of my passion and my own dream. And whenever I went home, Steven weighed probably 110 pounds soaking wet. I mean, it was really rough. And I didn't know what to do. So I just tried to tell jokes and be funny and anything I could to not talk about the elephant in the room. And we decided to take him to Memphis and go for New Year's Eve, what we believe would be his last New Year's. On that trip, he said, don't pity me. If you want to do something for these kids who don't have anyone. I've had friends and family by my side the entire journey. And that was really my call to action. It moved me deeply. And years later, I was telling someone I had a horse accident when I was 12. And in that accident, I broke my jaw, had my jaw wired shut, was out of school for a bit. Had to go through this whole healing process. And I was explaining the story about this horse accident. And they're like, oh my God, that's why that story moved you so much. And I never made that connection of having this kind of near-death experience at 12 and going in the hospital and dealing with all that to Stephen telling me about this child in the hospital. So that could have been some subconscious reality that I was unaware of. But I was not aware of it at all. It really was just him simply saying, do something for these kids. And I had never thought about children sitting by themselves in hospitals. So that was it. And then from there, it's just kind of grown. It's grown with every artist who's come in, everyone who's wanted to give, everyone who's wanted to do something with our own creativity in a way to give back. It's just kind of become its own thing. It's really out of my hands.
When you said that about the experience when you were a child, when you were 12, I truly feel our body, it reacts in a way. And sometimes our mind takes over and we kind of just don't listen to the body. But when you said that, I actually got goosebumps. So there, it feels like there's something there because yeah. I felt that. And even though you may not have known it on the conscious level, it was on the unconscious level that grabbed at you, that helped you propel forward with doing all of this, because what you do is amazing and it must take a lot of work, a lot of stamina, a lot of endurance to what you bring to the world. So how has it evolved over the years?
I mean, truly, when I say to you, every single person who participates, it morphs with every being who comes into it, is the God honest truth. So we started with children in hospitals. Our intention was to just go to the oncology unit in honor of Stephen. So we go to Children's Hospital Los Angeles, August 17th of 1997. And when we're there doing a music workshop, someone comes and is like, would you mind coming to, I can't remember, it was a fourth or sixth floor. They asked us to go to a different floor and see a cystic fibrosis patient. I was like, well, of course, like we're here. Why wouldn't we do that? And so we go, and there was this child who changed my life forever. And she was 7 years old, and she skated up on her IV poles like, what are you going to play for me? She was this just like wise ass little kid who was so cute and so adorable. And she, CF patients, what a lot of people don't know is their oxygen treatments, they look like angels. They're so filled with oxygen. Their skin is almost translucent. They look like a different being. And whenever she rolled up and asked what we were doing, I'm like, oh, we're going to play. We do this. And so they play a song. I'm like, well, play me another one. Well, play me another one. Well, play me another one. And come to find out, this kid was a foster child living at the hospital. Her mother had dropped her off as a baby because CF patients cry so much. They feel like they're drowning. They can't get air in their lungs, but it feels like they're swallowing water, basically. And a lot of babies cry nonstop, and obviously they can't articulate what they're feeling. So if you're not equipped to deal with that, it is very hard. And her mother was not equipped to deal with it and dropped her off at the hospital. And so she was raised pretty much in the hospital. I started to go through the foster care process because I wanted to adopt her. And they told me very quickly that even if I go through it, you can't request a specific child. So I was like, okay. So we start doing all this kind of stuff. She ends up getting placed with a family that had a lot of other medically fragile foster children. And that's where she ended up getting placed. And she would kind of tell me about that when she was in the hospital. And I said, I can't get you right now, but I promise you, the day you turn 18, I will take care of you. The day she turned 18, she'd already had a double lung transplant, but the day she turned 18, I got her an apartment and took care of her until she died. And she was my everything. But when I say all that because of the evolution. Had we just stuck with oncology, I would have never met this child who forever changed my life. So we went from oncology to all children in hospitals. One of the patients we had there was being treated at Children's with a therapist. His mother had force-fed him bleach and tried to kill him as a baby. And he was living at a residential facility. So at this residential facility is where he was 90% of the time and was transported into Children's Hospital. We were doing music with him. I laugh only because he had play therapy every week at Children's and he wasn't speaking. They did not think he could speak. So we had a musician in there and he would play with these toys and he'd put this specific toy up in the top of a tree. And the therapist was always like, that's who he thinks he is this creature that he puts on top of the tree and he wants to be removed from everything. So the musicians in there playing has been coming in for, I mean, the better part of a year, if not longer. And one day he's playing, he goes, can you play something else? I don't like that one. Like, he didn't like the song he was playing. And everybody's like, oh my God, he spoke. And the musician, I walked out of the hospital and was like, I mean, I'm thrilled he spoke. But the first thing he said is he doesn't like my song. So once he started speaking, we started going to the residential facility. And one side was for children and one side was for elders. And we started doing all of these workshops with the children at this facility. And they asked us one day, would you mind doing stuff for our elder population? And I was like, well, no, we're here, of course. So and then we went from children to elders. it's just expanded by people asking for our services is truly the gist of it. And if you have artists who are willing to give their own talent and give their own creativity, why not share it with anyone who needs it? So that's the evolution.
Well, it sounds like it's through connections and collaborations, because that was going to be my next question, is the collaborations. But it's beautiful because, you know, so many people are actually closed off in life if they're really only focusing on themselves. But you opened yourself up to being asked and responding to just let people guide you to where you're here to support. And it even started that way with Stephen when he was the one that said, the children, right? So through him, you responded and you followed where you were being guided, which has brought this evolution of connecting with other people in such a powerful way and bringing in creativity. So when it comes to collaborations, how do you handle the collaborations and the projects with the artists?
It completely differs as well. The first group was 23 people that I'd gone to film school with. And it was really, as you said, in response to Stephen's request to do something for the children. We sat around a conference table at Universal Studios, and it's like, I write, I paint, I am a musician. So everybody kind of told what they wanted to bring to the table. I made a list, and I marched into Children's Hospital LA, and it's like, hey, I've got these 23 people, and we want to volunteer. They're like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. You have to go through a volunteer training process. You have to commit 200 hours a year. Like, it was this entire thing. And I was like, these artists can't do that. What if I go through the volunteer training process? I bring them in under my volunteer badge. And, you know, that's how we'll start. So that's what I signed up for. I would go in every Thursday. I'd gone through the volunteer training program. I'd go in every Thursday from noon to five. Every hour, I would bring in a different artist. And they would volunteer. No intention whatsoever to create a charity. Let me be very clear about that. Didn't even know what it was. So from August of 97 to December of 97, that's all we did was just volunteer. December of 97, the hospital called me in and said, we love what you're doing. We want you to continue, but you have to start a nonprofit. It's a liability issue. Like, you're the one who's gone through it, but everyone who comes in under you, if a child says they're touched inappropriately, if an IV pole's knocked over, if blah, 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 if anything happens, we're suing you, more or less. And they referred me to an attorney who is my attorney to this day. I go meet with Matt and tell him, you know, they told me I need to start a nonprofit. He laughs. He's like, well, I'm not a nonprofit attorney. I'm a real estate attorney, and he did real estate deals and investments for the hospital. And we find out that day we have the same birthday. So we bond over our little birthday, and he goes, I have no pro bono clients, but I'm happy to take you on. I'll figure this out with you. And he says very quickly, he goes, well, we need a name. And again, how God works is God brings all of these things into your life and you're just like, oh, wow, I didn't catch that one. But this friend of mine who was in my life for a very brief moment of time, because we worked together at Universal Studios, his name was Vanessa. And she and I were close, but whenever this happened, not that close at all. She comes to my cubicle at Universal with her hands clutched like this. And she was like, this sounds so weird, but I just got back from Boston and I was at this restaurant and I was just kind of overcome with this like Jennifer Howell thing. I need to give you something. And that was weird, definitely weird. And she hands me this pack of matches from a restaurant in Boston. And it was Elysium was the name of the restaurant. And it had the definition of Elysium on it. And it was phonetically spelled out. And I teared up. I was like, it's the most beautiful word I've ever heard. I'm going to name my child that one day. And it said on the pack of matches, it says the inner sanctum of God from Greek mythology, where heroes would go sit at the foot of God. And so it was the closest to God you could possibly be was to sit in Elysium. So when Matt asked about, you know, what to name it, I was like, what about Elysium? So he looks that up. He's like, well, that's taken as a nudist colony. There was like some nudist thing called Elysium. And then we played with all of these different variations of Elysium until we got down to the art of Elysium, because it's the art of heaven. And to say that artists are the closest thing to God is an understatement in so many ways, because to channel, like, Nick Cave is one of my, well, is my favorite musician probably of all time, but like to write a song where you dip in the divine and pull something down to earth that the world can listen to, that's as close as you can be to God. To write something that did not exist in the world before and pull that down into reality, that's as close as you can be to God. To direct, it's a channel. And so artists are truly channels to this divine source from which we all come. And to me, that is what the art of Elysium is. And the evolution of it, the process of it, the collaboration of it, all of that, it comes down to that. Like, hopefully in our collaboration, sometimes we have to give some guidance, but hopefully these artists come in with their own voice, because that's what's important to give to other people, is that process. How do you channel what you create? That is the most important part of it. And people get lost in it. Like, our biggest issue is people don't understand our mission, because I think it's too vague or too airy-fairy or too whatever. But that's the only way, in my opinion, we can heal the world, is to allow creatives to dip into the divine and say, no, this is how we need to do it now.
There were, you brought me to tears with some of the things that you were talking about. And there was three times that I got goosebumps, because I truly believe that with creatives too. And I find it interesting that we actually are connecting now, because we've known each other for about a year now, right?
Yeah.
And you were going to be on the podcast before, and then life happened and everything. And then you reached out to me. It's again through that responding thing that I realized it was the right timing. And it's because now I'm connecting with creatives. I'm helping creatives like step into their voice. So when you talk about creatives being the closest thing to God, I was like, wow.
It is. And I also think right now in this crazy time that we're in, they're trying to silence the creatives. You see these strikes going on. You see like, oh, we're going to take over with AI. You see all of this stuff. They're trying to silence those voices. And in any time of historic unrest, the first group they take out are the artists, because they have the loudest voices. They change the world. Neil Gaiman is our next visionary for heaven, and I am a tremendous fan of his work. But in The Sandman, there's this thing, is like, what would the world be without dreams? And to not have a dream, to not talk about what the world has the potential of being, shuts us all down. And it's way easy to control us if we don't have a dream about something more. Who gives us those dreams? It's artists. It's a song. It's a lyric. It is a passage in a book. Those are the people who literally inspire dreams and believing in something more in all of us. And I always say, if you don't believe in art, this charity is not for you. Because at the core of who we are, it's fundamentally believing that the artist is the most important voice on the planet.
And that goes into the spirituality part. I was going to ask about how you bring spirituality into this, right? And basically, you've already explained that it is spiritual.
It's all spiritual. And again, we're not a religious organization, so I always have to be very careful, because I have my own spiritual beliefs very deeply, as you and I met on a trip, a very spiritual trip in Egypt. I have my own beliefs that probably don't fit into any specific religion at this point. But I believe in God with my entire being. I believe in a creator with my entire being. And often whenever I speak about the charity, I say, everyone has a belief. If it's the Big Bang, if it's God. I mean, obviously, I believe in the science of the Big Bang, but like however you believe in it, if you, whatever your belief is, the one inarguable truth, and if everyone could get down to this very specific fact, wars would end. We were all created. That's it. There was a point of creation. And however you want to embrace that point of creation and remove all dogma from it, it's the fact we're here. Like, we're the proof of the creation. We are art itself. Some grand design brought us here. Evolution, however anyone wants to look at it, that is the truth. And to acknowledge yourself as a creation, you have to acknowledge a creator. And that creator has to be artistic in nature at some level. And so it just, it all ties into it. And, you know, I'm a very big believer in reincarnation. And so many people who, you know, are fundamentalists, I would say, don't believe in that. But if you go back to the original text of the written Bible, of the written Holy Scriptures, of everything that exists, it was in there. And it was taken out because those who are in control thought if you believed you would come back again and have a second chance or a different life or a different, you know, process, that they couldn't control you. They couldn't control society. So it was written out. But, you know, each storyline of our lives is a new, it's a new living art performance, I would say. And Marina Abramović, she was one of our visionaries for heaven and, you know, godmother of performance art. But I believe with my whole soul that our lives are one big piece of performance art. And no matter what role you play in this life, it's art. And we just take that out of our own stories. You know, it's art imitates life, life imitates art, however you want to look at it. To me, that's the spiritual process of it all.
And that even goes into, and we'll touch more on this because I know you have the 39, which I'm so excited to go to. Because we both have that, the unconscious sun. So hello, provoking change. I love that life is an art, but we have been the control aspect with conformity of conforming ourselves within these boxes. Have really limited the creativity. So then there is a lack of connection with spirituality, lack of connection with that love and collaboration and all of that, that we're truly here and everyone's so closed off. And I hope you know how beautiful of a person that you truly are and what you bring this world. You truly are an amazing, amazing soul.
Thank you. Thank you. Definitely do not feel that all the time, but thank you so much for saying it. Thank you.
Well, I feel it. I feel it. I feel it with every single cell. Even when we met with the whole thing in Egypt, I felt something, right?
Our blue lotus journey.
I know. I know. If there is anyone that wanted to reach out to you, how do you work with collaborations? Let's say someone wants to reach out to you or connect with you. Is there a way that they can do that?
Yeah. On the website at theartofelysium.org is my email and contact information. So it's like right there. So anyone can reach out anytime. And quite honestly, that's how we've done a ton of collaborations, is people just reaching out and us figuring it out. But really, the Art of Elysium stands to be this connector for how people want to get back through their own creative process. I'm so focused on the art and the artist, but I do believe we were all created in the image of a creator. And so within us all, there is this inherent need to create. And I just think some of us forget that. I think that we were all given these God-given gifts that we're supposed to use and utilize for the greater good. And I just think we forget that. And that's where you're pigeonholed into, I'm going to live in this little box and I'm going to fight a war and I'm going to do all of these things that we're told to do, is because we really forget who we are meant to be. And I do think if we were all tapping into our creative talents, all of us on this planet, it would change everything immediately. But that's where, you know, you get into the light, you get into the dark, you get into so many layers of the spiritual battle that exists here. And there are forces that want us to stifle our creativity for their own gain. And that's what you have to really watch out for, I think.
Yeah, that goes back to living in that box, in conformity, in control, not tuning into who you truly are, listening externally to what everyone else tells us rather than having that space and knowing and courage to do something different.
Yeah.
Because it can be scary when there's so many other people doing the same.
Yeah. Very, very, very scary.
And it takes, and I'm going to say this to you because I know you had the 38. I have the 38. It takes us warriors, the people that fight for what we feel is right, for us to actually lead into that. And sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes we get
terribly lonely. Oh my gosh. Terribly, terribly, terribly lonely. I wish so often that I could stifle that need to do what's right. My life would be a lot easier if I could. Honestly, meeting you in Egypt and going through this human design and discussing that, it really shed light on a lot of things because I'm like, my gosh, am I just difficult or what happens and the provoking and the this and the that? And this just need, like, I don't understand where people don't stand up and do the right thing. It blows my mind. I lose massive respect for people. And then I realize most people don't have that. They don't care. And I wish I cared a lot less. I just don't. My life would be way easier if I cared a lot less.
Oh, but life, easy life. What's the fun of that? Right.
Well, I guess what's the fun of that? I've been engaged twice. And I remember with both engagements, getting on my hands and knees and just praying to God, like, please, please, please let me be okay with this. Like, they're decent people. Like, they're this, they're that. But I knew that they were not my person. I knew that. And I just prayed to be normal because I feel like so many people just accept whatever's kind of offered to them in some ways. And I never set a date with either of them and kind of blame them for the engagements ending and in a lot of ways, to be totally honest with you. And I realized, like, I always knew they were not the people for me. Always. Always, 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 always knew it. And I could have probably married both of them and had a happy life, but it wasn't my soul's calling. Let's put it that way. That's where I just wish whatever this thing was inside of me, that's like this voice or this calling to do more or to change the world or whatever this thing is, I wish it was quieter sometimes.
I can understand that. I also want to say that you wouldn't be and you wouldn't be making the impact that you're making right now, the impact that you are making in lives, you're being of service. So basically, yes, sometimes you're lonely, but you're being of service to the whole because you're standing in who you are, your power, what you're here to do. And sometimes those that do that, they are lonely because everyone else kind of falls into the normalcy of what they think their life should be rather than stepping into what they're here for. And you fully have stepped into that. And you get to draw those beautiful souls that see you for who you are. So you get to not be lonely in like the love that I have for you. You get to not be lonely in the people that see your presence, your power, your everything that you are. So on those times that you feel lonely, just know that you're loved.
Thank you. Thank you. Now you're making me cry.
Is there anything else that you wanted to say for those that are listening that may be struggling or may feel like, you know, I do have this creative thing about me, but I've lost it. Any last type of guidance or inspiration you want to share?
You know, the artist way, which so many people have done over the years, but it's something I go back to very often. It is pretty powerful. And then Marianne Williamson, and I'm seeing the book in my head and I'm spacing it right now. I have it on my bedside table. A Course in Miracles. I always go back to those two whenever I feel personally just kind of burnt out. Those are my go-tos. And then have the most solid group of an inner circle you can have. Reach out to people, connect, share what you're going through because people want to hear that. Don't be ashamed of where you are in your process. Don't cut off from others. I think that that's so important because as we travel through this thing called life, you have so many ups and downs and people, you know, want to pretend they're always happy. That's just not true. Okay. And I think to actually connect and share your own journey, if it's even with someone on the street, but just be like, hey, you want to talk? You want to get coffee? Let's go get coffee. And take some random stranger to coffee and ask them where they are and then tell them where you are. But it's connection. And I think that the most deepest depressions and darkest places we can go is when we go alone. And if others are there, we can lift each other up. And that is, in my mind, what we were created to do.
Beautiful. Yes. Wise words. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your space, your time, your energy. We will be going into the next podcast, which we dive into your chart, which I kind of went over a little bit, that there's a bunch of stuff I want to share, new stuff.
Oh, like, I'm very excited to hear my new stuff on the chart because you've given me a lot of insight on it.
Oh, awesome. And for those that are listening, all of the information will be in the show notes. So definitely check everything out. Reach out if you want to. Check out the website. Again, grateful you're here. Grateful to know you. I can't wait to dive in. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you.
Till next time, guys.
My hope is that you walked away with something today that has opened your mind, your heart, or both. Listening to new perspectives not only help you grow and expand, but it helps humanity as a whole. So if you have someone that you feel would benefit from this podcast and you feel that you want to share, please do. Also, would love to connect with you on Instagram, so please follow me at Miranda J. Mitchell. One last thing, if this episode left you with any ahas and insights, take 30 seconds of your time and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way I know you are loving the content and connection in this space. And if you want to know more or wondering how we can work together, please go to miranda-mitchell.com, click on the contact in the menu, and send me a message. Sending you all love. Till next time.